Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
No matter what.
Take care of us, isn't he? Yeah. And you know, that's what we're really going to be talking about this morning again too, is we've been in the book of John, and we'll be in John chapter 16 this morning. We'll be starting in verse 5 today. Remember, we're in the upper room discourse in John chapter 14, really through 17, the beginning of that Jesus is talking to his disciples in that upper room at the Last Supper, and he's telling them that I won't leave you as orphans, and that I'm going to send a helper, and that yes, I'm leaving and you can't come where I'm coming, but guess what? You're not going to be alone, are you? And he says that he's going to send that helper, and the helper's going to be with us, and we're actually better off with the helper than they are with Jesus there, because of the fact that Jesus, when he was here on earth, he could only be in a body at one place at one time. But because he sends the helper, the Holy Spirit, he's able to be in us and dwell in us and through us. And so he's able to be with everybody all at the same time. He is telling us that helper is coming. And as we got to chapter 16 last time, he was telling them that he kind of had started that theme in 15, that the world's going to hate you, and they hate you because they don't know the Father and they don't know Jesus, and then they're going to hate us. And then he kind of puts in there in verse 26, 27, the helper's coming. And then he comes back and says, I'm letting you know these things because guess what? They're going to put you out to synagogues. They're going to think they're doing God's service. And, you know, if you look around the world and you look in history and you read the history, you see that some of the worst wars and some of the worst things that were done were under the name of religion. And it's still going on today. People are being killed in the name of God, but it's not the people that are doing that have a wrong view of God. They don't understand what God's about, because God loves us and cares for us, and God doesn't want us to be killing people in the name of religion. The Bible tells us that God says that vengeance is mine. I will repay, right? And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. And let's stop right there. We'll see how far we get with that today. And so Jesus starts out. He says, I've told you these things so that you won't stumble. I'm letting you know. But then he says, but now I go away to him who sent me. He said, I'm going back to the Father, and that's where I came from. So I'm going back to him. And then he says, but none of you asked me where I was going. And you remember Peter did back in John chapter 13, verse 36. he says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow afterwards. Peter says, and why can't I follow you now? Lay down my life. And then Jesus gives him those famous words that he's going to deny him three times before the cock crows. And also, I think Thomas wanted to ask him. He kind of put a couple of words in there too, but he didn't really actually come out and ask. And so when we get to chapter 16, what's happening here? Let's think about this. What happens when we get in trouble a lot of times, or things are going in our lives? We kind of start feeling sorry for ourselves, don't we? We kind of start looking at ourselves. We quit looking at everybody else around us and feeling sorry for them. And we kind of sometimes, the worst thing we can do is we get caught up in ourselves, right? I know we all do it, and some of us are better at not doing that than others, and some of us are worse than others at doing that. But what's happening here is Jesus has been telling them for a couple of chapters that I'm going away, and I think as time goes on, what happens? They start thinking worse and worse and worse, and Jesus is leaving and Jesus is going, and all of a sudden, they're not so worried about where Jesus is going and what's going to happen to Jesus. All they can think about is, oh no, we're not going to have Jesus anymore. We're going to be by ourselves. What are we going to do? Not what's going to happen to Jesus, what's going to happen to us. And that's what happens to us a lot of times when we get in trouble. The Lord's kind of rebuking them because he says, you know, I go away and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And so they're sorrowful, they're weary, and they're just downtrodden. And, you know, that's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? Who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, he kept his eyes on the goal. That's why the Bible tells us over and over again. He's going to tell us in 33 that we have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world, right? And that's what Jesus is trying to do, prepare them. And that's what the Christian life is really all about, is knowing that we're going to go through trouble, knowing we're going to go through hard times. But you know what? Everybody goes through trouble. Everybody goes through hard times. But we as Christians may go through harder times because of the fact that we are Christians. But you know what? Remember, we've been told over and over again that James says it. Peter tells us. All these writers tell us that we go through trouble that we might be made more like Jesus. All this is preparation work for heaven, right? And when we get to heaven, as I said before we started, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Or as Romans 8:18 says, that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven. And so Jesus is like rebuking them and saying, you need to quit being so preoccupied with your own problems and get outside yourself. I don't know if I told you, I probably told you this story one time before, but I remember a story, and I was thinking about this. It was a story about a lady that used to go to the cemetery, and she would had a few dollars, and every month she would come up. She had her a chauffeur, and she'd ride in the back of her limousine, and she'd ride up to the cemetery, and she'd give the caretaker a few dollars to buy some flowers, right? And then she'd drive off, and, well, I did my good deed for the month. And one day she drives up and tells the caretaker, says, you know, I'm dying. They can't figure out what's wrong with me, but I'm dying. The doctors say I'm dying, so this will probably be the last time you see me, right? The caretaker looks at her and says, well, lady, if you take some of this money that you got instead of giving it to me to put flowers on dead folks' graves and start maybe visiting some people that need some help and love on some live people, some people who are alive, and reach out to them, then things might be a little bit different with you. She got all mad and rolled the window up and told the chauffeur. They just, he gunned it and spun the wheels and took off out of the place. And about a month or two later, she comes back, and it's the limousine coming back, and there's no chauffeur. She's driving a limousine, She pulls up, rolls down the window, and tells the caretaker, "Guess what? You were right." She said, "The doctors can't find anything wrong with me now." What happens? You get turned in on yourself, and then all of a sudden a little problem's a big problem, and then you got 14 problems, and then you got 22, and then it gets worse and worse and worse. Well, she forgot about her problems and started helping other people, ministering to other people, and then God, maybe she was dying, but sometimes you can die from hypochondriac and just turning in on yourselves instead of reaching out. And that's why God wants us to reach out and love other people. And that's what's happening to these disciples. They turn in on themselves. They've forgotten about everybody else around them, and they're not even caring for each other and loving on each other. They're just, each one of them is caught up in their own little dilemma. Hey, you know, what am I going to do? Not, well, what's John going to do? What's Peter going to do? What's Thomas going to do? Well, what about Jesus? What's going to happen to him? Jesus is kind of rebuking them, saying, "You need to get your eyes off yourselves and fix your eyes on me, the author and the finisher of your faith." When he gets to verse 7, he tells them, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I will depart, I will send him to you." Let's stop right there. So the Lord's going away is not only necessary, but it's to their advantage, right? I mean, Jesus has already said in John 14, John 15, if he doesn't leave, he cannot send the Holy Spirit. I don't know why God ordained it to be that way, but Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you do not belong to God. You know, some people talk about a second blessing, and you know, you get saved and then later you get the Holy Spirit and all these things. Ephesians 1:13 says, the moment you heard the word, the moment you believed, the moment you trusted in the gospel of truth, the word of salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Spirit of promise is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one that He sends to comfort, right? And what He's talking about here is He says, I'm telling you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that can love on all of us and comfort us all at the same time. And like I said, Jesus, when He was in a body, if you think about it, even though Jesus is God, He was limited to a little small country, right? A little small area. And that was where He was ministering. That's why Jesus, when He went away, when He died on the cross, was buried, and resurrected, and went back to heaven, what did He tell His disciples? I think it was in John chapter 13, John chapter 14. He says, you will do greater things than I did. Not greater miracles, but more people would be saved. More lives would be changed. More people would be encouraged. Why? Because the Holy Spirit would be living in and through all of us. That's why Peter was scared of that little servant girl. And then what happens after Jesus rises from the grave and He sends the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 2, He can preach and say, you wicked men who crucified Jesus and put the Son of God to death, the Holy One to death, you're the ones. And stick His finger in their face. But yet, in the end of the book of John and the Gospels, what does He do? He's scared of a little servant girl. He's scared of people who say, you're with Him. No. He's afraid to die. He's afraid of the persecution. He's afraid of it. That's what's going on here. The Helper is the Paraclete, the Encourager, the one that we've been singing about this morning, the one that beneath His wings of love abide. God's going to take care of us. And we sang number 26. Under His wings I'm safely abiding. Who from His love can sever? You know, under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. There I find comfort and there I am blessed. That is what He's talking about. That Holy Spirit that is there for us when we are tired, when we're weary, when we're sick, when we're going through trouble. That Holy Spirit, that Comforter, that Defender, He comes, He's the Encourager, He's the one who wraps His arms around you and says, I haven't left you. Yeah, Maybe everybody else has forgot about you. Maybe everybody else is mistreating you, but I still love you. And I'm there for you, right? Isn't that what he says? He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. I've got to go away so that the Holy Spirit will come. That's the process. He says, but if I depart, I mean, really what he's saying is, but since I depart, I will send him to you. There again, Jesus is saying, I'm God, because he says what? I will send him to you. I will send him to you. He said earlier in chapter in the 15, and he says that he proceeds from the Father, and I'm sending him, and he proceeds from the Father. So Jesus is making himself equal with God, because guess what? He is God, right? That's in verse 26. I shall send to you the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father. So basically, we talked about that if he's sending the Holy Spirit, he's God, right? And there's always that. Remember the whole thing with the book of John is chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. These many other signs Jesus did, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, and believing you might have what? Life in his name. That's the whole point of the book of John. It is a gospel of salvation that none should perish. And the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, he is the one that comes. I mean, the Holy Spirit is not some kind of consolation prize. You know, you get on TV and, you know, and they say, well, all right, well, guess the cost of this car and you miss it. And then they give you some little old consolation prize that's not much of anything, right? It's not what Jesus is saying. Well, I'm going away. I'm just going to leave you this little consolation prize. He's saying it's going to be better because I'm leaving. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you and in you and through you. And remember I think I said it this last week, that just as the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus needed a body when he was here on earth to minister, the Holy Spirit needs a body. That's our body. That's your body. It's the church's body. And we are called to be his ministers, his witnesses, his encouragers, his helpers. We are called to be the ministers. What does Romans 5, I think it's verse 5, says? The love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so the Holy Spirit enables us to love people. And he shows us he loves us, and we know we're loved by him because of the Holy Spirit, but we're also able to love other people and care for other people, and that's why we can pray for those who curse us. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free. And these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.